The Holy Gospel is written in the Gospel according to St. John in the third chapter, beginning to read at the 14th verse.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Jesus said, "Just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world, that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who perishes in him, who believes in him, may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Those who believe in him are not condemned, but those who do not believe are condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and people loved darkness rather than the light, because their deeds were evil. For all who do evil hate the light, and do not come to the light, so that their deeds may not be exposed. But those who do what is true come to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that their deeds have been done in God." This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Lord, speak, for now your servants are listening. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
First, can I say what a real pleasure and a privilege it is to be here with you for this Wednesday Eucharist here in the college. I wasn't quite sure whether Maurice Elliott would be here, but I believe he is on his travels. But it's wonderful to have Paddy, who not only lectures here, but was one of my successors as chaplain in Queen's, and others who I have got to know over the years, some over Zoom meetings during COVID, and for other visits here to the Institute. I want to begin this evening in a very traditional way with a text, but not a text from this evening's passages. It is instead a text that takes me back 40 years to this very room, to a Wednesday communion service just like this. And I really can't believe that it is 40 years since I was here as a first year student in what was then the Theological College. The preacher was another Morris, Canon Morris Stewart, who was then vice principal and went on to become Dean of St. Patrick's. And his text for that particular evening was taken from Genesis chapter 12 and verse 8. And having said that, I remember Canon Hart always saying, if it's taken, put it back. So it was from Genesis chapter 12 and verse 8. Here it is. "And Abram pitched his tent with Bethel to the west and Ai to the east." It's a sobering thought, but I wonder how many sermons that you have ever heard, how many of them actually stand out as memorable. But then, of course, of all the meals we have ever eaten, how many of them were memorable? And yet every meal was essential to keep us fit and keep us well fed. You see, that Wednesday evening from so long ago was memorable because I had the thought to myself, how on earth can anyone preach a sermon from such an unpromising verse of Scripture? And Abraham pitched his tent with Bethel to the west and Ai to the east. And yet, out of such stony soil, Canon Stewart wove a masterful sermon that challenged each of us who was listening about the choices that we make before God. Which way would Abram turn with his life and his journey with God? Was he going to turn back towards the security of Bethel in the west, where he had already built an altar to the Lord? Or was he prepared to take the road to the east, to the Negev and the unknown? This evening I am conscious that for at least some of you who are in your third year of training and already deacons, the matter of choices is something which hangs heavy for each of you. But the question for all of us is, where is God calling me and perhaps my family to go and serve him next? It's a question which all in ministry find they face from time to time. What is God's will for me now and for the future? When my tent is pitched between Bethel and Ai, which way am I going to go? And the problem with faith and a life lived by the word of God and the Bible, which is what you are here to learn about these 3 years, is that it's not always obvious where God is calling us to next. Sometimes God's call and God's guidance will be as clear as day, but more often than not, it's when we need God's voice to be sounding as loud as a church bell that we are confronted with a deafening silence. And what do we do then as people who are faithful? On first reading of this evening's gospel passage from John chapter 3, it seems that it's a passage packed full with the certainty of God's guiding hand for our lives. How many tree trunks across Northern Ireland carry the words of John 3:16 nailed into their trunks? How many buses have you ever followed with those words staring out at you? For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, so that whoever believes in him may not perish but have eternal life. Or the following verses, which are often also taken as proof texts. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but so that the world would be saved through him. It can all seem so easy and so straightforward. Believe that Jesus is the saving Son of God, and for the rest of your life, it would be like driving down one of those dead straight American highways. If only it were that simple. But remember, the one we follow, Jesus, was one who had his own Lenten journey of challenge and temptation and choice in the desert. You remember his three choices and challenges? He could be a popular Messiah, feed the people with all the bread they can eat. He could be a spectacular Messiah, dazzle the people with a display of miracle moves, throw yourself unharmed from the highest pinnacle of the temple. Or be a political Messiah, drive the Romans out with a display of power unequaled in Israel's history. Jesus rejected each one of those tempting choices. He rejected them with the words of Scripture, underpinned by his own unshakable faith in God as his heavenly Father. But if Jesus thought that the challenge of choices was one at the start of his ministry, as we all know and as we shall move to over these coming 2 weeks, the most painful of choices, the darkest of decisions, awaited him in the Garden of Gethsemane on the night of his betrayal, didn't it? It's no accident that St. Luke tells us that in that garden, Jesus, being in agony, prayed more earnestly, and his sweat became like great drops of blood. Why? Because in the garden, Jesus faced his most difficult choice, the greatest temptation of all. Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. If in the face of his own crucifixion, despite all that he'd taught and shown his disciples, if Jesus was tempted to avoid the cross and to seek any other way, then we should realize that for ourselves, our choices of faith can also be agonizingly difficult until we, like Jesus, can breathe, not my will, but thine be done. Because in all our choices, it must ultimately be God's will and not our own that we follow. This is the essence of calling, and it's the essence of discipleship. As we heard in the epistles of Paul declaring to the Ephesians, you were dead through trespass and sin in which you once lived, but then the choice God made once for all upon the cross of Calvary, as we've sung about. God, who is rich in mercy, out of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead through our own trespasses, made us alive together with Christ, so that in the ages to come he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. If God, our Heavenly Father, made such a choice for each of us for life and not for condemnation, how then are we to make our choices for discipleship? Let me suggest there are three guiding ways to help us. First, listening. As we remember from Jesus' own temptation in the wilderness, Jesus himself listened to the guiding voice of his heavenly Father. When we listen, we need to listen to the voice of God in Scripture. When we listen, we need to listen to the voice of God spoken through trusted and godly friends. When we listen, we need to listen to the voice of God speaking to us out of the silence. If you've ever been to the Judean wilderness, or you ever got the opportunity, it is a place of intense silence. And in our choices for faithful discipleship, we also need to listen to the words of the Holy Spirit whispered into our places of silence and contemplation. But there's a second way to test our calling and our choices. Which door does God open up for us? Which door does God close to us? When we declare at Christmas that we believe in the Incarnation, we allow that God works through the material world. There are times when the way of God and the call of Jesus is declared through what God does provide and what God does not provide. Remember, for Jesus to perform the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000, he first needed one small boy with a picnic of 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. What doors close? What windows of opportunity are opened? And yet there are some times that God's way to our choices is simply not made clear to us. Sometimes it seems as if God's voice has gone silent. Sometimes even Jesus can feel far from us. What then must we do? That is when we must have faith. Faith in God's faithfulness. Faith in God's unerring love for each of us. Ephesians reminded us, God, who is rich in mercy, out of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead to him in our trespasses, he has made us alive in Christ. When we cannot see the way ahead clearly, when we toss and turn one way and the other, then it is like Jesus' own journey towards his passion in Jerusalem, one trusting step after another, one step at a time. And then it is like his agony in the garden. Not my will, but thine be done. Because for each and every one of us, the greatest choice of all is the choice of faith, to be faithful. Hebrews, of course, reminds us, faith is God's assurance of things hoped for and God's certainty of things not seen. Or, as the famous story of the footprints in the sand reminds us, it is when there is only one set of footprints in the sand. Those are the steps of God carrying us through our own storms of self-doubt. Listen, test, trust. From the rocky soil of Genesis to the rock of Calvary, from the choices of Abraham with Bethel to the east and Ai to the west, to the saving choices of Jesus as Son of God, may you and I each be guided as we listen, as we test, and as we trust, to find God's call through life's challenging choices, but along the whole of our journey and our Christian lives. Let us pray. Risen Lord Jesus, in this place of prayer, seeking and searching, may we be those who find your guiding hand upon us. May we listen attentively in the silence and in the song, in the scriptures and in the call. May we test your word, your will and your way. But above all, may we trust the faithfulness of God our Father to lead us always in the ways of his choosing. Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen. Amen. Amen.